Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm your host, Evelyn, and tonight we are continuing our Called Bible Study recap from our Tuesday night gathering. This week's lesson was very enlightening. If the earlier lessons stirred excitement about your calling, this one brought caution and clarity, because not everyone who is called fulfills that calling, and that should get our attention. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, sister in Christ, my daughter, Crystal.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for having me. So I would say this lesson felt protective to me. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't hype, but it was definitely a warning. So it was like God is saying, if you care about your calling, then guard it.
Yeah.
So what we're about to discuss isn't meant to discourage you, not at all. It's meant to preserve you for the long haul.
That's right. And so before we get started, let me talk about our disclaimer. We want to properly acknowledge that our Tuesday night study is based on the Called series by John Bevere, available through his Messenger X app, which I strongly encourage everyone to download. We are not affiliated with Messenger X or John Bevere Ministry, and this podcast is not an official teaching from the organization. We are simply recapping. It's our personal recap from our Tuesday night study. It's our reflections, our discussions of what we are learning together as a group. So we are not reproducing or redistributing the course material. We strongly encourage, again, for you to access the full Called series directly through the Messenger X platform for the complete teaching experience. Yep. Now, also, we are not pastors, as we have said. We are not licensed theologians or biblical scholars. We are just two ladies who love the Lord and are committed to growing in scripture together and bringing you along with us in our journey. Yep. Everything we share here should be weighted against the word of God and brought before the Lord in prayer, and let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Yep. So let me open in prayer. Father God, search us tonight. If there's anything in our lives that could derail what you've called us to do, please expose it. Remove any pride, remove any compromise, remove fear. Give us courage to surrender anything that competes with you. We want to run our race with endurance, not just start with enthusiasm. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to go to Hebrews 12:1, and the NIV says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So basically it says that we are to lay down aside everything, every weight, every sin. So anything that ensnares us in sin and kind of slows us down, right? That's what that's saying. So the verse assumes something pretty profound, I think. There are things that can slow us down, and then there are things that can actually take us completely out of our calling. So our calling isn't fragile because God is weak. It's fragile because we have free will. And that same God who calls us also allows us to walk away from what he calls us to. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like we can either get entangled or we can walk in the path he gives us. And that's something we don't like to sit with, because I think we want calling to feel inevitable. We want it to feel like it's automatic. We want to believe that once God calls us, fulfillment is guaranteed. But the scripture here doesn't teach inevitability. It teaches faithfulness. So as we know, Judas was called.
Right.
Saul was called. Samson was called. But calling was not their problem. Their character was their problem, right? Mm-hmm. So calling gives us opportunity, but our character determines how long we'll walk in our calling, the longevity of it. And I think that I believe this lesson that we're in right now, lesson 7, really exposes the enthusiasm that people start their race with, but only discipline and surrender will allow us to finish what our calling is.
Yeah, it's true. And I think what struck me is that not everything that slows you down is actually sin.
Mm, that's true.
So some things are just weights, and weights don't always look evil. Sometimes they look reasonable. They look responsible. They look normal, but they quietly choke obedience over time, mm-hmm. like a tree with weighted branches that gradually bends toward the ground until it can't reach for the sun anymore. And the scary part about weights is they rarely feel heavy at first. they can actually feel manageable,
yeah,
logical, and justified. But over time, they start influencing our decisions.
Yep, that's true.
You know, you don't say no to God outright. You just say, not yet. You might delay. You may negotiate. You adjust the calling to fit the weight. And before you know it, obedience has been redefined around comfort. And that's how drift happens. It's not necessarily in rebellion, but in gradual accommodation.
That's true. I think you hit it by saying it's not in rebellion, because I don't think we think we're rebelling against it, God. We're just like busy in our world, and that sometimes will cause that slowness.
Yeah.
So there are three common weights. Like you mentioned, the weights, we talked about that in the study last night. And in that lesson, he goes on to talk about there were three common weights. So three patterns keep arising to the surface, and you'll see them all throughout Scripture. And he said it, he mentioned that they were security, money, and relationships.
Yeah.
Not because they're inherently bad, but because they compete for trust, you know, compete for God. Basically, we should be putting the Lord before all those things. So there's that competition. They become weights when we depend on them more than we depend on God. What's interesting is that these three areas are where most of our anxiety lives. So our future, our finances, our approval. And when calling threatens any of those three things, those three weights, common weights he refers to, we start to feel resistance.
Yeah, and those three areas, they kind of reveal where our true security lies.
Mm-hmm.
So what we cling to when God calls us to something uncertain, that reveals what we really, truly trust.
Yeah.
So the calling killers aren't usually dramatic temptations. They're just subtle shifts of trust from God to something else. And again, it's rarely rebellion. It's just a slow drift.
Yeah. So let's talk about security. That's subtle, right?
Yeah.
It's a need to feel safe before we obey.
Right.
But calling often disrupts comfort. So Jesus never promised safety. He promised his presence.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the people in Scripture who wanted to follow him, but they wanted their guarantees first.
Right.
You know, the rich young ruler wanted to follow, but he couldn't let go of his own security. You know, it's like the Lord tells him, well, sell it all and follow me, right?
Yeah.
So following Jesus rarely comes with guarantees of comfort or predictability. And this is where we have to ask ourselves something really honest. It's like, do we trust God with our future more than we trust our plan for our future? Because security isn't just about physical safety. It's about control. It's about needing clarity before commitment. But God often gives direction in pieces.
Right.
So it's not because he's withholding. It's because he's building trust. So again, if he showed us at all, we would probably run ahead of him, you know, in some instances, and or run away from him. So security wants a blueprint, but faith says, trust the architect who is the Lord.
Right. And thinking back to Scripture, I mean, Jesus said that he's a wanderer. He doesn't mm-hmm. have a place to lay his head.
Right.
So if Jesus is wandering with no security, why should we think that we should wander?
Well, he's wandering because he knows where the source is. You know, he's got that trust. So he's wanting us to have the same, you know?
Yeah. So security becomes a problem when obedience is postponed until everything feels stable.
Yeah. Because that'll never happen. Number one.
Right. But faith is stepping forward without full clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So if we refuse to move unless it feels safe, security becomes a weight.
Yeah.
And the irony is that true security is found in obedience to God, because God knows best.
Yep.
So not in the absence of risk. Abraham, for example, he had to leave his security to find God's promise. Sometimes the thing we're clinging to for safety is the very thing preventing us from stepping into our calling. So another way is money.
Yep.
So it's not because money is inherently evil, but because dependence on money competes with the dependence on God. If obedience stops where finances are affected, then money owns us. Mm. In Matthew 6:24, all right, so I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. So Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other.
Yep.
You cannot serve God and mammon. And that is red letter. That's Jesus' words.
That's right.
So Matthew 6:24 makes this clear. We cannot serve both God and money.
Yep.
And this isn't just about big ministry decisions. It applies to everyday obedience. Are we generous when it costs? Are we obedient when it shifts lifestyle? Are we willing to give when it disrupts comfort? So money reveals our lordship. It's not about how much you have. It's about whether what you have owns you or not. And sometimes the real question isn't, can I afford this? It's, do I trust God enough to obey him here?
Yeah, it's true. And I think this is where a lot of believers quietly stall. So we say we trust God until the budget shifts. But calling sometimes costs financially. Mm-hmm. God doesn't ask for reckless behavior. He just asks for surrendered trust. So the early disciples left their livelihoods to follow Jesus. Paul gave up his prestigious position for the sake of the call. So what are we unwilling to risk financially for the sake of obedience? You know, when we talked about this, like, you know, you and Andrew had to, you know, when it came to trusting money, you literally gave up a career as a nurse, which, you know, you as nurses make decent money. Yeah. And that's a, you know, you had a 2-house income and he wanted you to stay home with the baby. You wanted to stay home with the baby. And now you've been home with her almost 2 full years now.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally you gave up one full income and it's like, we're going to just trust the Lord. And not only did you trust the Lord and step out and do that, you bought a home. In that time frame. So the Lord has really, that was on your heart and clearly on Andrew's heart for you to be able to stay home and raise the baby.
Yeah,
and that was a prayer, something you wanted, and the Lord wanted to give that to you.
Yeah, because Andrew actually approached me about it one day.
Yeah.
He's like, babe, he's like, you'd make my life a lot easier if you just stayed home with her.
Right.
Yeah, I was like,
but I think, right.
Okay, I'm not going to argue
right.
that.
Well, because, right, because he, you know, he had to help care for her while you were at work, whatever. But also, I think he deep down also saw the need, how important it is for, you know, to have you guys raising her rather than, I mean, even though I was trying to help here and there, you know, I also had to work. So there would be a point in time where someone else would have to come in and step in and help. And I think that was a blessing. And you guys were obedient and prayed on that. And here you are, you know, she's a little over 2. You guys are doing well financially, you know, you're holding your own, you got your own place. And so that is where you guys clearly stepped out financially in obedience, I believe, you know? Okay. So let's look at the third weight, that he had spoke with, in lesson 7, and that is relationships. So relationships can also become weights when fear of disappointing people overrides obedience to God. That's a problem. So Jesus made it very clear in Luke 14:26. So let's look at that. 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, we look at hate as different than the Lord's looking at that. Basically, I believe this is saying you don't put anything before God, period. Everything is under him. So Jesus made it clear in Luke 14 that allegiance to him must come first, even above family relationships. This doesn't mean we dishonor people. It means we prioritize God's will above any human approval. Mm-hmm. And so let's be clear. God does not call us to be reckless with relationships. He calls us to be faithful to him first. There will be moments where obedience disappoints someone, where growth may threaten someone, where stepping into calling creates distance, and that can be very painful. But if your identity is rooted in approval, your obedience will always be compromised. That's just a fact. You cannot simultaneously protect everyone's comfort and fully obey the Lord.
Yeah, and that's a painful revelation, you know, because I know I'm a people pleaser, and we don't want to hurt, we don't want to lose people, but you know, calling will sometimes reveal who supports your obedience and who prefers your comfort. And Jesus experienced this himself. You know, his own brothers initially didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And sometimes the people closest to us become the biggest weights to our calling, because unfortunately we value their approval more than God's direction for us.
And that's true. When you think about staying in the relationship aspect of it, if there are people in your life who are not as far along in your walk, but I think that's where it really, it feels weighted to you as the Jesus follower person, where, you know, if you've got a spouse or a family member or a mother, brother, it doesn't matter. However they're related to you and you're trying to walk closely with the Lord, yet they are constantly bringing you down or constantly like mocking the Lord or whatever, that definitely can cause some problems, I think, and strain. Yeah. But you just need to stay obedient in the Word and in the Word.
Or they call themselves Jesus followers, but they don't live a life like that would glorify Jesus. And that can be bothersome because it's like you have this righteous anger of, you can't say you're a Jesus follower and not believe in the Bible or believe what the Bible says about what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're a hypocrite. And then that gives other Christians, like non-believers, like, look at these hypocritical Christians. It's like,
Well, we did talk about that.
Not all of us are hypocritical.
Right. We talked about that Tuesday night,
They just give Jesus followers a bad name and a bad look. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me too. Like, that's very bothersome.
Well, I
think experience that.
Well, also as Jesus followers, we should also want to correct others followers, to make sure, but in with, I don't know how to even say it, like respectfully. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's difficult, when you know that something is completely wrong, it's not our job to convict someone.
Nope,
it's the Holy Spirit's.
Yeah.
However, we don't just ignore things either and just condone it. So we've got to be, absolutely. Careful balancing act there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about weights slowing us down, and that was those three things we just went over, which, again, let me reemphasize, which was security, money, and relationships. So now let's look into how sin destroys you. Unrepented, unmanaged, excuse sin. So weights slow us down, but sin will take us completely out. So back in Hebrews 12:1, we had made the distinction, we lay aside weights and sin. So they're different categories with different consequences. Weight hinders progress, where sin can disqualify influence. Weights require adjustment, sin requires repentance. So there's the difference.
Right. And the danger with sin is that sometimes it starts small. It can be a hidden compromise or a private indulgence or the idea that, it's something little. It's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But sin never stays contained. In fact, it grows. So let's look at David. So David's compromise began with a glance.
Yep.
And it ended with national devastation. So this is when he had relations with Bathsheba.
Right.
So if we refuse grace to confront sin, it will confront us publicly.
Yep.
And like you said, weights require adjustment, but sin requires repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Weights can be laid down strategically, but sin must be surrendered completely. And here's the part we cannot ignore. Sin is actually deceptive.
Yep.
It promises control, but it actually produces bondage. It whispers, you deserve this. And then it demands payment later. The longer sin is tolerated, the louder it becomes. And grace is not permission to manage sin. Grace is power to overcome it.
That's right. And then we've got, of course, the crowd versus committed, right? So there are moments when large groups follow Jesus. But when his teaching became difficult, many left. When the message challenged comfort, the crowd dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And the dividing line isn't knowledge, it's actually surrender. So the crowd heard the same sermon that Jesus was teaching. They saw the same miracles. They watched the same authority that he gave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when the message required self-denial, the crowd thinned. The committed stayed not because they understood everything, but because they trusted Jesus.
Right. And the crowd admired him, meaning Jesus. So the committed entrusted themselves to him. Admiration is emotional. Entrustment is surrender. The crowd followed as long as it benefited them. The committed followed even when it cost them. And that's the difference that defines discipleship today. You know, Peter didn't say, we understand everything. He said, where else would we go? So calling survives where surrender is stronger than understanding.
That's right. And I think John said it very nicely in his in that Tuesday night Bible study. It said, basically, the crowds were curious.
Yes.
The disciples were convinced. That's the difference between the crowd versus the committed. So the disciples were committed because they were convinced. And the crowd was just there. They were curious, what's this guy doing, right?
Yeah. What's the next miracle we get to witness? Correct.
And so I found that, you know, that was pretty enlightening when he said it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
So basically, we look at the lesson really comes down to, I think, one question. So are we willing to pay the cost of following Jesus for the sake of our calling? Because calling isn't about potential. It truly is about surrender.
Yeah, but God's grace is stronger than any of those threats. We just have to submit to him.
Mm-hmm.
The same grace that saves us will sustain us in our calling.
Yes.
And the cost isn't paid once. It's paid repeatedly. Every season presents new opportunities to choose obedience over ease. The cost may look different at 25 than it does at 45. Different in leadership than in obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle remains. Calling flourishes where surrender remains active. And the moment surrender becomes selective, then our calling becomes vulnerable.
Yeah, it's true. If we could summarize this entire lesson in one sentence, it would be this. Calling is not destroyed overnight. It is compromised gradually. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way we protect our calling isn't by becoming paranoid, certainly. It is definitely becoming surrendered to the Lord. Security surrendered, money surrendered, and relationship surrendered, since those are the three weights that he referred to. And then we have to be sure that we have repented all sin and that we embrace grace daily, you know, and turn to the Lord daily. Because remember, he gives us new daily bread every day. You know, it's a new day. So now let's process this together and let's get into some group discussion. Question one for the group discussion is, what part of your testimony about weight or sin is most encouraging? So for me, it's knowing that God never wasted the seasons where I struggled. And there were many seasons I've struggled throughout my life. The weight I carried exposed those areas where I trusted myself more than him. And the sin I battled taught me dependence and humility. What could have derailed me actually deepened me because I repented and allowed God to redeem even my failures. So what about you?
I think for me, it's that conviction is actually mercy. Mm-hmm. So God didn't expose me publicly, but he confronted me privately. And that shows me that grace works before collapse happens.
Mm-hmm.
And when we respond to conviction, we protect our calling. And, you know, the moments I most regret are not when I fell, because we're human. We're bound to fall and make mistakes.
Yep.
But when I actually resisted conviction and just prolonged the process.
Yeah, because if we don't submit and surrender, that's for all of us, you know. Yeah. It will prolong the process. It's almost like he wants to say, come on, you know, this is, that's good. The next question, big difference between the crowd and the committed, which we just talked about in our last one. What do you say?
Well, like I mentioned, so the crowd, they wanted the miracles.
Yeah. They were there for a show, a spectacle, right?
Yeah. Whereas the committed, they wanted Jesus. Mm. So one group followed for the experience. And the other followed out of surrender. The crowd was impressed by Jesus's power and what he could do, while the committed were transformed by his presence.
That's good, yeah. Okay, so for question three, what risks have you taken regarding security, money, or relationships?
Well, we kind of talked about mine already.
Yeah.
So I, with discussing with my husband, we went ahead and gave up my income for me to be a stay-at-home mom with our baby girl, you know. And that's like
it was a full-time position,
nursing position. So, you know, I didn't make six figures, but you know, we were comfortable. We had two great incomes. We're definitely making six figures together. So that was definitely an adjustment for us.
Yeah.
You know, we could We were saving to buy a house. We weren't as frugal with our our saving. We were, but if there's something we wanted, we bought it. We didn't think twice about it because we had two incomes, you know. But now it's okay. I had to cut back on just the unnecessary spending.
Yeah.
But
and rely strictly on the Lord because he's your main provider. Yeah. So that's it. Right. Because
God doesn't want I can't take anything that we have with us when we die.
Right. That's
it's
right.
It's like, I don't need this. I don't need all this materialistic things.
Mm-hmm.
I want my life to show Jesus. I want to raise my daughter to follow the Lord closely than I did as a child. Like I want to raise her up right from small. Because when she knows the Lord at a young age, she won't walk away from the Lord.
Right.
And that's important to me. And that's important to
the
Lord.
He says they won't depart from
they
me.
They won't depart from him. Right.
Even though sometimes, you know, as a parent myself, I may look at my son who was in youth, groups. There are periods of time where as a parent, we see our kids depart, but we know the Lord made a promise.
Absolutely.
They will not depart forever. We have seasons. I mean, I even departed and I grew up in the church.
Right.
So for a period of time, I always knew the Lord. I always knew like he was always there, but to truly follow him, that's what you mean by that.
Yeah.
And so for me, there were definitely moments and I talked about, I'm not going to get in as deep as I did last night, clearly, but, there were definitely moments where obedience meant uncertainty, not only financially, but emotionally, relationally for me. But every time I chose obedience over comfort, God has provided without a doubt.
Yeah.
And sometimes different than I expected, but faithfully.
Yeah.
You know, he was always there, always showed up. So the risk wasn't just stepping into uncertainty. It was just staying there long enough for God to show his true faithfulness.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
All right. So question 4, biggest lesson about leaders who lost everything due to sin.
Well, I would say that shows us that no one is immune.
That's right.
So calling doesn't cancel our accountability.
Right.
So private compromise will probably lead to a public collapse.
Yep.
And as we've heard it, the higher the calling,
the higher the standard,
the harder the fall.
Yep.
So we've all seen leaders who fell because they thought their calling insulated them from accountability. And that's just not true. That's not true.
No, you know, the Lord has made that very clear. And I think sin definitely tolerated becomes sin mastered.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've seen that in so many ministries. It's sad, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And humility is the only safe place for leadership. So the most dangerous position is thinking it won't happen to me. If you have that mindset, it'll never happen to me. I think that's the first sign that you might be in trouble if you don't submit and surrender to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the moment we think we're beyond falling is the moment we are, I think, most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Leaders who finish well are those who stay aware of their dependence on God's grace daily.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, yeah. So I think he talked about that Tuesday night in the Bible study, and I just... You know, I can't say enough about John Bevere and Lisa Bevere's studies, guys.
Yeah.
They are such a powerhouse couple, and I love all their lessons on Messenger X. I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to download that. It's so much good.
He's definitely used his calling.
Oh, yes, for sure.
They're definitely anointed, and they are just powerhouses for the kingdom of God, and God now they're using them well.
Right. And even their boys are on Messenger X, and I like watch them. It's just, it's great to watch it. So a plug for their Messenger X app. Okay. Last question. How has God helped you overcome sin? So for me, through confession and accountability, darkness definitely loses power when you expose things, right?
Yeah.
So I know in James 5:16 became real in my life, confessing sin to trusted believers. And I have to say that very clearly, trusted believers, be careful who you confide in.
Yes.
Broke chains that I couldn't break alone. The enemy works in isolation. So for those people who just like don't like, I've seen it happen here recently where people were just running hard with the Lord and then all of a sudden something bad happens in their life and then they isolate themselves at home. They stop coming to gatherings. They stop coming to church. And, you know, that's the enemy working on you in isolation. God works in community. That's why he never wants us to stop assembling, right?
Right, absolutely.
How about you?
I would say through surrender. Not willpower alone, that's for sure.
Yep.
But grace-empowered obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that trying harder doesn't overcome sin. But surrendering more does. You have to definitely surrender to the Lord.
Yeah.
And Romans 6 became a practical reality. You know, counting myself dead to sin, but alive in God through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about fighting sin in my own strength, because we can't. It's about yielding to his strength
mm-hmm.
to help us get through our sinful nature.
That's good. That's good. So let's talk about, like, scripture says when we walk with the wise, we grow wise. So calling isn't pursued alone. We talked about that. He definitely yeah. talked about that. Like, you know, make sure you're in a group, you know, and get wisdom throughout and stay in the scripture. We need community that challenges us, that corrects us and strengthens us. So the question isn't just, am I serious about my calling? It's, am I walking with people who will protect my calling with me? So he used an example about a friend who, how was it? How we talked about that with that where you need friends who corrected you.
Yeah. He mentioned that he was, and this is public, so I'm going to go and talk about it. He mentioned that he got into pornography at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And those closest to him, they weren't like, oh, you're covered by grace.
Saved by grace, yeah, yeah.
They said, this is a sin,
and
it's going to destroy you.
It's going to destroy your calling. It's going to destroy your walk.
So
something to that effect.
You basically have to surrender that to the Lord. And
right.
that was something he talked about. He fasted it for, I believe,
four days.
Yeah. And so it's finding people who are not going to allow you to live in sin.
Right.
But saying, oh, listen, buddy, you love Jesus. I love Jesus. This is not what Jesus wants for you.
Right.
Like, this is sinful. Like, my aunt did that to me.
Yeah.
She was like, she asked me a question. She says, are you an Andrew? You know, I was like, yeah. She's like, well, that's sin.
Exactly.
So, and right there, I was convicted immediately.
Yeah. And it wasn't her that convicted you. No. The Holy Spirit instantly put that on your heart, like, oh, you're right. This is not right.
Right. And it was so because of that, like, now we still live together because he was already up here from Ohio, but we stopped doing that until we got married, you know?
You stayed abstinent and stayed
abstinent
true to
it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Someone would be like, no, you didn't. Well, we know our truth, so it's all good.
No. that's it. And, well, it's between you and the Lord anyway.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, just the fact that you, it's like, and on top of it, not only did you guys stay abstinent and did the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You actually had to extend your wedding plans.
So it's like,
right.
The Lord's like, I'm really going to
I'm
going to
test you. I'm going to test you in this because now we're going to, you have to wait a whole nother year, yep. basically almost, right? Yep. Because COVID hit. And so there, the wedding was postponed. So,
so
you have that.
Yeah, and I loved how Amy always says, she told us before about how we're her circle,
mm-hmm.
and she says, find the friends who will be the ones who will tear down the roof and send you down to Jesus for
That's
healing.
Right. Yep.
And she's found that, and I would say that even, I would agree with her, like, we found that in our little group.
Right, yep. Yeah, in our group, we definitely have that, and I think it's important for everybody, you know, we go to a pretty decent sized church right now. And so churches, you have to have that community, but you also need small groups.
Absolutely.
Those people that you trust, like that you trust with your deepest, darkest secrets, because those are people you're going to also go to when you talk about maybe a sin that you had. You don't want to go to somebody who's going to blast all over about you. You know,
exactly.
So you got to trust the people that you're around. And that's what the Lord means by, you know, our community.
Right.
It's not necessarily the 1,000 people you go to church with, for sure.
It's small groups.
It's that home group and that our Beyond the Church Walls home group that we do every Tuesday. You're more than welcome to join us. It is a smaller group and we love the Lord and just, you know, love to do, get into his word. So what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it isn't about finding perfect people, right? Because none of us are
That's
perfect.
Right. That's right.
It's about finding wise people,
mm-hmm.
people who know scripture Or people will say, you know what, let me look. I may not know, but let me look.
Yeah,
let me
absolutely.
Find it for you. But people who walk in humility and who have fruit in their own lives and aren't afraid to speak truth to you even when it's uncomfortable. And we have had that in our group.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to sugarcoat sin.
Nope.
You know, if you ask me a question and I feel like I can show you scripture where it goes against the Bible, I'm going to tell you in a loving way. But I'm not going to be like, oh, it's okay, girl. Like, no, it's listen.
Yeah, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
It
is. We've seen in scripture, sin is a very big deal. And scripture also tells us that iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
But it can also cause friction. So the right community will both be comforting yet challenging to you. They're going to challenge you to grow, but they're going to comfort you at the same time.
Yeah. And when you have that, so if you can, you need those, like you said, those group of people. We're none perfect. None of us.
None of us are perfect.
And so as long as you can be humble and bring in something to someone's attention, and, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not your problem how they respond. As long as you're doing it in a loving, empathetic, compassionate way, you know, you just have to try to, you know, be good in how you do it and be loving like Jesus would, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's so good, Chris. I love love this. I loved this. So far, I think 7's been one of my favorites so far. They're all good, but lesson 7 was really enlightening.
Yeah.
So why don't you, what do you think? You agree? It was pretty good.
Yeah, and I will say one thing that really, really stuck out to me because I didn't know about it,
mm-hmm.
was when scripture talks about the one guy who wanted to follow Jesus, but he says, let me bury my father first.
Yes.
Now, I felt like, as a person, I'm like, dang, like, Jesus is harsh. Wouldn't even let him bury his dad.
Well, even John says that, right? He's like, man, yeah, that, you know, you look at that initially and you're like, that, well, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. But it wasn't until, because I didn't know this, but what it actually was about, it was about money.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that the firstborn, you get a double portion of inheritance. And then,
and in order to get that double portion,
you have to be the one to bear. If you don't, it goes down to the next sibling. I did not know that was actually Jesus basically testing his heart in regards to the money aspect. I did not know that. So
scripture,
like, dang, Jesus, like, right, you can't even bury my parent.
Yeah, and it is. And if you don't understand their life back then, we would miss. I mean, like,
absolutely.
I missed that when he said that. I'm like, well, it's very enlightening.
Yeah.
But the other aspect of that is, I honestly think, and we'll never know. This during Bible study. I'm like, you know, because we serve a God who is just, who
absolutely.
Is loving, and I honestly think you're right. He was testing him to see where his heart was.
Right.
Had he said, you know what, Lord, you know what,
you're right.
So it's. I think of the story about Abraham and Isaac.
Oh,
you know,
when
he was taking his son up, and as you're reading that, and you're listening, you're like, my God, I cannot believe. As you're reading it, you don't know until you get to the end of that story that the Lord's like, you know, he stops him, you know.
Right. He's from, like, Abraham, wait.
Yeah.
Don't hurt your son or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. And so basically he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. And I look at this the same way. The Lord was testing Abraham.
Yep.
Abraham did the right thing, and the Lord stopped him and gave him a sacrifice, right? A ram.
There was a ram that was stuck in a thorn bush.
Beautiful. So that's beautiful. So I think the same thing would have happened here.
Yeah.
I do believe that. He would have said, you know what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Here you go. Go bury your father.
And
you also now get the double portion. But instead, the guy's like, nope, got to go get my double portion, Lord. You know? So anyway, that's our thoughts on it. I mean, it doesn't say that in scripture, but I kind of, that's how I think about it.
Right.
So why don't we do this, Crystal? Why don't we go ahead and close in prayer?
Okay. Lord Jesus, we ask that you please remove every weight from our lives that competes with you. Expose any sin we have excused or minimized. Strengthen us to surrender security, money, and relationships to you fully. We want to finish our race and not just start it well. Give us grace to run our race with endurance. Surround us with wise believers who will protect our calling as much as we do. Help us be among the few who entrust themselves fully to you, even when the path is unclear. Make us people who finish well. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So thank you for joining us for lesson 7 of our Called Bible Study series. If this challenged you, could you please share it? If you are local on Tuesday nights, we would love to see you at the Bogger Center in Chesterton, Indiana. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We are Beyond the Church Walls Ministry, so btcwministry.com is our website.
Yep. So guard your calling, because it's precious and it's worth protecting.
Yes. Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we will see you next Thursday. God bless.